All right, so we are here. It's time for the questions. So, Daniel, where do we begin?
All right, so David is asking whether you could just briefly recap the six... the six personalities.
Oh, all right. All right, the six personalities are three pairs. There's a child self and the parent self. Child and parent dynamic. You know, there's a whole personal growth initiative in the 80s based on called transactional analysis, which is based on parent-child dynamic. The second pair is the adolescent and the social ego or the negative ego, the one who takes everything personally. And they're both, you know, immature in their own way. You have to work with both of them. And the young adult is the fifth one, and its partner is the slave driver, which is the false motivation, the motivations by guilt and fear. So you have those are the basic six.
Okay, thank you here. So Steve says, I feel my younger self was going through horrible stuff. I feel like I'm holding back on my adult self, still fearful of repeating my childhood, really looking forward to this freeing meditation.
All right. Well, we accept that comment, and that's beautiful because, yes, the meditation is freeing. And if you are feeling the emotional states of your younger selves, that means that they are being very persistent with you, demanding and insisting that you take care of them. And that's what you're learning to do here today. So thank you for that comment.
Okay, so Jane says, what will happen to those of us who cannot shift out of our circumstances as far as this new world would speak about? Will we be annihilated?
All right. Well, that's not really on topic, but here's what we would suggest looking out is that to deal with the world and its influence upon you, you cannot be a victim anymore. You must be a victor. Okay? You must be empowered. So what you do is that you build your personal, emotional, mental capacity for love and power and freedom and allow the universe to support you in modest ways or even magnificent ways, but to allow yourself to trust that you are on plan, you are on the divine plan, it is indeed happening, and that all those effects from the world are not going to annihilate your soul and your spirit or diminish your spiritual path in any way. What you want to do is in healing your past selves and creating a really luminous, beautiful, luminous future, what we suggest that you can find happening and you can do this is to create an energy field of safety, love and safety around yourself. And when you do that, you are fulfilling your personal mission. Your personal mission is to know who you are, to own your spiritual light and radiance, and also to live the life that, to think the thoughts, feel the feelings that are true to you, living the life, at least in the energetic and in the internal, that you want, okay? Now, there's been a split of the worlds, and so what that means is that the new world is here, but you still see the nightmare. You still see the crazy stuff. The thing is that if you focus too much on that, you don't really stay on track to the luminous future, the optimal future that you want, which is your dream future, the future of your glorious, wonderful, future in which you can share, you can give back to your world, you can have an impact on your world on the spiritual level, and you can see the effect on the physical level. You don't have that power if you focus too much on the nightmare, on the craziness, on the destructive, on the pain and suffering, all the trauma and the basically the competitive destructiveness, the dominators crushing others, and all that horrible stuff that's going on. That's part of the nightmare, and there are people who thrive on that. They're just all excited about that. We know you're not, and so what we're saying here is that even though you choose the path of the optimal future, and we suggest you continue to heal your past selves and allow your future self to heal you in your personal life, what you'll find is over time that destructive, horrible, negative energy will affect you less and less and less and diminish and diminish and diminish as you expand your own personal field of resonance, of safety, of love, of and so on. But the challenge is definitely here, because everybody's child selves are just freaked out, because children, the child self wants safety and security and love, and your world is not offering that, and especially in the political arena. So you have to establish that yourself as the adult, and that's where your power is. Okay, so thank you for that.
Okay, I have a question. It's kind of a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
This little area always kind of snags me about being able to tell the difference between imagining a positive future and fantasizing about a positive future. I have a hard time distinguishing, and I can't ever tell which one I'm doing, really. Well, okay. Sometimes I can, because I can tell it's not real. Like, mm-hmm. I might be fantasizing about, oh, if I was a billionaire, I'd do this or that or whatever. And mm-hmm. I don't think I'm ever going to do that. I don't believe I'm going to be a billionaire. But sometimes, like, if I'm thinking about a partner that I might like in the future or something, it seems very real. And I can kind of just pretend that he's there and we're living together in my house and that sort of thing. And
mm-hmm.
is that positive imagination or is that fantasy?
Okay. We would say that the more real you make your imagination, the more likely it is your imagination. It is a program, it is a creation rather than a fantasy. And the way you distinguish that is that the energy of it, the feeling of it, is rich and meaningful. All right? So you can imagine you and your partner living in your house, but that's circumstances. What's the part of it that you feel is real, okay, is the part in which you feel being in this relationship, right? That's mm-hmm. When you feel the beingness of that relationship and how you wake up in the morning and he's there and, you know, you come back from doing stuff and you eat dinner together and you go out on a and buy something together, and, you know, you just these daily mundane kind of things. And you're feeling in the relationship. Okay, so you're feeling yourself in the relationship. The feelings, the thoughts, the attitudes, the states of mind, those are the more real. So the fantasy of your house and having this guy there and whatever you imagine him to look like or whatever, all of that is reflective of what you're feeling and so on. Now, the fantasy part generally starts with the physical results, like the billionaire being winning the mega lottery and so on, and having, you know, millions and millions to play with. That's starting with the effect. That's not the state of mind. That's not the thoughts and the feelings. And generally, most fantasies have in common that they are very simple, and it's like, okay, all the problems are solved in this simple way, And it also has this kind of, it's just, you feel safe, you feel secure. There's a security about it. It just, it's one-dimensional, two-dimensional. It doesn't have the richness. It doesn't have the depth of a true vision or dream. Okay. So if you start out saying, okay, here's what I want. I want the new car. I want the new house. I want the new relationship. I want, and you're going and looking at the physical effects that you want, the physical symptoms, you might say, of your metaphysical experience, and not looking at what you're feeling inside, then it's probably your ego who's dreaming it, and it's probably a fantasy. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's a good guideline.
Okay, great.
And so I had a second part, and mm-hmm. this always seems to be so subtle to me, but as time goes by, I kind of will become aware that something that I thought was the me now, or something I thought I wanted that was the me now, is actually from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And when you brought that up earlier, I had this experience of thinking, well, what is it I really want?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking about, I want this freedom and this freshness, like to go live somewhere else, but have someone with me and just be able to go to different places all the time and have fresh experiences. And it hit me that maybe that's not me now, but this might be the inner teenager. It might be what the inner teenager wanted. She felt stifled in the tiny Midwestern town. She wanted to be able to go out at night and have dinner, or be able mm-hmm. to go do things that were exciting, or go to Paris and wake up in a new city.
Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe it's the me now also a little. Maybe that's some of my natural temperament. Can you look at that a little and dissect it for me?
Oh, certainly. All right. So, yeah, it is very important not to try to fulfill your younger self's dreams. That's a given, right? And so, yes, it may be that you would just love to do some traveling, and it would be just totally a blast. And the way you do that is you first imagine, okay, what if I don't have any financial limitations? Because that's where most people get stuck, right? Okay, I would love to travel around, and I'd love to do this, and I'd love to do that. But if you didn't have any financial limitations, you could afford to do that. So imagine yourself doing that. So you go, okay, let's go to Paris. You know, when I was young, I just fantasized, oh, it'd be so great going to Paris. So I'm going to go to Paris. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to walk down the Champs-Élysées, and I'm just going to see all the artists there, and I'm going to do the Paris thing, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And just go through it and feel it. And just spend a little bit of time just putting all your energy and imagination and so on into that. And then and then you fly back, and okay. So after you do that little exercise, then you think about how much of that is pulling me now. Is that really meaningful for me to do that? Would that be just something just fantastic that's got to be on my bucket list? What is this? And maybe it's not Paris. Maybe I really want to go somewhere else. And so you think about, okay, I want to go to this other place. Then do the fantasy there. Do the potential future. Dream the future there. And then say, okay, now after you've had all the initial fun and so on, now what? What do you want to do next? Or was that really fulfilling? What did that fulfill? Did that fulfill your adolescent? Did that fulfill your young adult? Did that fulfill your child? Did that fulfill some younger part of yourself? Did that fulfill your 40-something? Did that fulfill anything? And you think, feel about it, think about it, and then say, okay. So you might find that it's not as interesting as it used to be. It may not be as interesting. You may have lost a lot of enthusiasm and interest for things that in your past would have been just phenomenally exciting. But, okay, so what? Okay, that's okay. So then you start thinking, well, maybe if I don't want to do all this traveling, what is it I really want to do? And when you ask that, you go to a certain place in your psyche. What do I want? What do I want? You have to be very careful, because if you go to the where the young adult goes to find where they what they want, you're not going to find anything at all. You're not going to find anything that works for you. If you go to where you're adolescent, oh, this is what I wanted then. Oh, in my mind, there's this place I go to. What do I want where I really look at my desires? You'll show up there and there won't be anything. And that'll give you a hint, too. So, because if you think about it, that when you want to access yourself, you go to a certain place in your psyche. It's almost like you go to a room, you know. It's like a hotel room. You know, room 247 is your imagination room, right? So whatever it is, you go to that place, and if nothing is there, then that means that you need to go somewhere else. You may be trying to access through the portal of a younger self. So what we would recommend is in your dreaming and your imagining to first go and spend some time with your future self. Now, your future self, you don't look at all the life circumstances of your future self. Just look at what she's feeling, what she's experiencing inside, what her state of being is. How does she feel about things? And how much celebration, how much joy, how much empowerment and freedom. Oh, she's got all of this. Okay. Once you kind of get that radiance, that beautiful brightness of your future self, you go and you kind of merge with her and just yum it up and so on. And then you start thinking about, well, what does she do in her day? Where is she living, and what is she going to do, and why, and who is she with, and you start looking at that piece, just being very gentle. Don't try to just all out, okay, she's got a relationship and he's here and they're doing this, and don't do that. Just kind of gradually open to allowing a little pieces to drop through, little ideas to come to you. maybe just feel, okay, yeah, she is in a relationship. Okay. If you have charge about having a relationship, if there's too much significance in it, you're going to deny yourself this relationship. So what you want to do is not pay attention to who he is or what he's like or anything like that, but just kind of feel how she lives her day, doing things she's interested in while she's in this relationship. And now if you project the adolescent into her, you're going to project that she's going to have this relationship, and she in this relationship, they're going to do this, and then they're going to do that, and they're going to do the other thing, and it's all about the relationship, and it's all about them together, doing this and this. And that might lead you off and back into fantasy. So what you want to do is just kind of sense that state of being and keep trying to bring that state of being into the now, okay? And as you do that, what you'll find is that you'll get the pieces of what is really interesting and exciting to her. And then that will give you insight into what's really more interesting to you now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So, because one of the most difficult questions that everybody asks, and they ask it all the time, is, what do I want? Everybody's like, well, what do I want? And everybody goes to that same place in their mind and they, I don't know. So you need to go to a new place, which is where the future self is, okay? And if you can kind of shift into that location, that room, maybe the future self really is room 320. So you go to another, a little bit higher level, and you go to the 320 room, and in there you have your future self, and then there's more ideas. Now, another way to get really good ideas about what it is you want is to go visit in your imagination. Now, this is a fantasy. You make it all up. You go to your ideal future. The ideal future. Now, this is not just your own personal ideal future, but this is the ideal world that you're living in. Okay? Everything has changed, and everything is beautiful, and you go to this ideal future, and you feel safe, you feel loved, you feel exhilarated, you feel happy, you feel healthy. Yeah, everything is sane and wonderful and calm and peaceful, and everybody's loving, and everything's working great, and wow, and it's just fabulous. So you go to your ideal future. Now, wander about in your ideal future. Where do you live? You know, just let it kind of come to you. What do you do during your day there? This also can start to give you a little bit of insight into what you really want. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for that question.
So sometimes it is difficult to know which age group a particular need arises from. For example, sometimes I feel, okay, I didn't get attention. Nobody listened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So is it belonging to your child self or your adolescent self? Because both the age groups really have the same need.
Right. Well, that's true. Well, there's a relative sense of when you're a child self, who did you want to really hear you? Who did you want to listen to you? It's probably your parents, family, you know, teachers, whatever. Now, when you're an adolescent, who do you want to really hear you? And that's your peers. Okay, so the way you could tell the distinction is who is it that this younger self wants to give them that belonging? Who do they want to listen to them? Who do they want to be with? Who do they want to belong with? You see?
And as an adult self, it'll be my boss or my client. Can that?
Okay, you're talking about young adult or
young adult?
Young adult. Okay. So you're wanting to belong, right? So the young adult wanting to belong, essentially the young adult is in that part of your life in which you fancy yourself the most independent. Okay? So the belonging for the 20-something is not as strong as with the adolescent or the child. Okay, just now, however, the young adult would like to belong to something exciting and new and big and amazing and it's going to take the world by storm and so on. So it would be like, oh, this project, this movie, this system, this whatever it is, the dream of the young adult is something big, 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 big that you're part of. That feels really awesome, okay? So when you're looking at belonging in the young adult, then, you know, what group do you want to belong to? You want to belong to the successful entrepreneurs? Do you want to belong to the creative geniuses who are doing amazing things to benefit the planet or to make tons of money or whatever? Look at what group you want to, in the culture, in the collective that you would like to belong to. And that would give you the feedback for the young adult.
Got it.
Okay, great. That was a very, very good question. Thank you.
And this question is rather similar in the sense that if you do run into some sort of a difficulty in your present, how do you trace it to where it came from?
All right. When you run into a difficulty in your present, there is an emotion associated with the difficulty. Okay, you may feel powerless. You may feel angry. You may feel outraged. You may feel scared. Whatever emotion it is. But you need to tune in to what the emotion is. The emotion is in your current challenge. If you can tune in to what that state is, it'll take you like a beeline, kaboom, right back to the self who felt that originally, okay? And or maybe it won't be the self who feels it originally, but we recommend going back to the earliest potential version of that. For example, if it's outrage and you just absolutely outraged and you feel like somebody snatched your power and you feel really just furious and helpless at the same time, well, you could go all the way back to the terrible twos where you felt that nobody acknowledged you, but you probably won't go there. You probably would find some place before that, some place in young adulthood where you felt that your power was ripped away, that you felt somebody came and did something to you, and you're probably going to find that somewhere in child, adolescent, or young adult. So you'll feel that feeling, and the feeling will be familiar, and the familiarity of the feeling will guide you to where it comes from, and or at least will guide you to the self that you need to work with. Okay? Now, every emotion will have its own. Generally, children are scared easily. Okay, they toughen up by adolescent and try to look cool, but when you're a child, the fear is very, very intense, can be intense. So if it's fear, you're probably going to end up back in childhood. Okay, so the point is that the way you find that space is through being aware of what you're feeling. Now, if you have a resistance to feeling, you say, oh, no, I don't want to feel shame. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel that. Oh, no, no, that's uncomfortable. I'm not going to feel that. I'm just going to think good thoughts. I'm going to be positive and so on. If you do that, you're sabotaging your whole healing process. So it's very important for you to acknowledge darker, more limiting, more painful emotional states and have the courage to feel them and then go back and find the self who is suffering with that emotion and heal that self. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, that's the end of the questions.
Oh, my, we've got a lot of time then. Ha!
I can ask one more.
Okay. He has another one for you. We're going to use our team here to think up some questions here.
So one other aspect, which is kind of taboo, but is about sexuality.
Yes.
Is that because we didn't talk about the other self, we talk about the child, but we didn't talk about the parents. So what if you find in going back that your mother had really bad views about sexuality? So we start imagining her as somebody different?
Okay. Well, the key here is to look at how mother's views of sexuality, for example, affected you as a child. Okay? If your child did not feel, when you were a child, if you did not feel limited by that, if you only felt limited by it by the time you got to adolescence, you went, oh my gosh, you know, this is not okay, and this is, you know, she doesn't like this, and blah, 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 blah. Then it would be your adolescent. So you want to look at what the impact is of the self. Now, because the self is the key. The parent is a dynamic that interfaces with it. So, but when you figure out what age it is, let's say you happen to be 11, okay, that you realize, oh my gosh, my mother has just such screwy ideas about sexuality, and I'm afraid I'm getting screwed up by this, and I don't know what to do about it. It's very hurtful. It's scary. I don't know what to do about it. So you go to your 11-year-old self, and you hold him, you be with him, you love him, you listen to him, and he's going to say, oh my gosh, here's what's going on with my sexuality and my mother's beliefs and all this stuff, and here, blah, 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 and he'll go on, and he'll express himself. And so then, as you make his life perfect, as you give him everything he wants in his life, what you also do is now you do shift his mother, you change his mother so that she has beautiful, healthy ideas about sexuality, and that she is there for him, and that there's no more conflict. You see what we're saying?
You kind of heal your feelings, not the mother.
That's right. Yeah, you don't go and feel the mother's feelings. You don't go feel the social ego feelings. You don't go feel the slave driver feelings, because they're derivative. They're not pleasant. They are affecting the self. So the parental self is affecting the child self or adolescent self. And of course, in adolescence, there's a natural rebellion against the parents. And so the whole parent-child dynamic is pushed into the background. However, if there's some very strong control measures being taken by the parents, creating more resistance and rebellion or fear and craziness on the part of the child or adolescent, then you when you work with that self, yes, then you would heal the parents, and if that isn't enough, heal the whole family, heal all the uncles and aunts and cousins, heal everybody if you want. I mean, all you do is just a wave of the hand or in your imagination, and somehow or another something shifts. It's like it's just like magic, because that's what it is. So you just shift it all, and they're all sudden now, they're all healthy and so on. And so the self that you were then is now going, oh, now I don't have a problem anymore. I can just be free to be me. You see what we're saying?
Yeah.
So that's what you do as part of healing, because, like, for example, you know, we've worked with people who were in the closet, that couldn't come out as gay to their family. Women who had an eating disorder or who were overweight, who had too much shame, who couldn't handle anybody looking at them or whatever. It's like very often every being at some point in their life wants to go hide. Right, wants to go crawl in the bed, pull the covers over, world, go away. It's overwhelm, you know. And the child is more likely overwhelmed than anybody, because the child has the least amount of power to deal with it. So what you want to do is you just have to get all that overwhelm away, take off all the stresses, give the child, adolescent, young adult, whoever it is, full reign to be completely free, loved, supported, acknowledged, listened to, cared about, and everything. You want to give them that whole richness that they missed. Okay?
Thanks.
Thank you. That was good.
All right.
Oh, we eked out a few more minutes. Okay, so then we go into the meditation then?